Ghost in the Wings. Ghost in the Wings is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are products of the author's imagination, or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events or locales or persons, living or dead, is entirely coincidental. This novel is written by and narrated by G.R. Daniels. Ghost in the Wings, Chapter 1. Inspector Cameron Rand looked down at the body lying on the expensive carpeting in front of the ultra-modern carbon fiber and glass desk. He lifted his head and looked again at the view through the huge windows that made up the two entire walls of the corner office suite. He felt a twinge of acrophobia, but shrugged it off as his eyes took in a cluster of buildings leading to the dominant CN Tower and beyond to the blue waters of Lake Ontario. As head of the homicide unit of the Toronto Police Service, Rand worked out of police headquarters. The HQ was in Toronto's downtown, not far away from the crime scene, but was a 12-floor, 50-meter-high building buried amid the newer skyscrapers towering over the area. Rand didn't often get to the 60th story of a new skyscraper, especially one where the CEO of a well-known company lay in a pool of blood soaking into the imported nylon carpet. Rand knew the carpet was made of nylon because the office manager had gone on and on about the problem she would have cleaning it. Her reaction to the death of her boss had been tepid at best, with the usual words of shock and horror delivered without emotion. Her comments about the effects on her were truly outraged. "You can't clean that with cold water and salt," Valerie Bauer complained in her high, strident voice. "I'll have to get someone in. That's a Danish rug, you know." Rand didn't understand the connection. Did Mrs. Bauer have to bring in a squad of carpet cleaners from Denmark? Was the nylon carpet from Denmark that special? It took the inspector less than 30 seconds to decide Mrs. Bauer was a waste of time as a witness. He told her she could go back to work, and she huffed off with a determined stride, leaving Rand to inspect the body and the view outside the windows. Rand stepped back as the forensic team entered the room. There were three of them, but the forensic people, Rand and his two detectives, didn't take up a fifth of the space in the grand office. The medical examiner and his assistants clustered around the body. One of them shot video of everything. She began taking pictures as she came through the door, and she continued to fill up the memory of her digital camera as Rand moved well out of the frame. Rand noted that the photographer took care to capture every yard of the carpeting, from the door to the body and around the corpse. Like Rand and the others in the room, the forensic officers wore paper booties, but this trio also wore full white paper coveralls and hairnets as they worked. Rand knew they would blot and vacuum the pricey carpet before they finished processing the scene. "Bauer was in here when we arrived," Detective Sergeant John Stanwood said as Rand turned to the two detectives who responded to the call from uniformed officers. The uniforms were first on the scene after a panicked call was taken by the 911 dispatcher at 7:52 a.m. D.S. Stanwood and Detective Constable Barbara Green had responded to the call at 8:35 a.m. and had been in the office for less than 60 minutes, five of those spent with the office manager. Rand knew the sergeant was covering his butt. The office manager should not have been in the office at all, since she might contaminate the scene by accident or on purpose. But enforcing what people should do in a situation like this was impossible and ridiculous. The police couldn't do anything about a witness being at the scene of the crime before they arrived. "Don't worry about it, John," Rand told his frowning detective. "If she found the boss spitting on the carpet, she might have done him in. Otherwise..." The inspector smiled briefly, and Stanwood looked relieved. The interaction reminded Rand of the man he had replaced as head of the homicide unit. That man had been old school and dogmatic, the kind who would ream out any lower-ranking officer for the most trivial infraction, real or imagined. Rand had...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?